Good evening, this is Henry Banks, senior producer and host of WPR's People of Color with Henry Banks Show. Coming up, I'm joined by Superior, Wisconsin Mayor Jim Payne, African Heritage leaders Kim Young and Natasha Lancour, as we talk about the establishment of the new Mayor's Commission on Communities of Color in Superior. Also, WPR news reporter Danny Caney joins me in the studio for this conversation. People of Color with Henry Banks. I'm delighted to have in the studio tonight Mayor Jim Payne. He is mayor of Superior, Wisconsin. Natasha Lancour, Kim Young, they are residents of Superior, Wisconsin. And Danny Kading, she is a news reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. We're here tonight to talk about the recently established commission in Superior that will focus on the unique needs of communities of color in Superior. Everybody, welcome to the show, and let's just have a conversation about this new commission. Mayor, what is this commission called, and why was it put in place?
So it's called the Mayor's Commission on Communities of Color, and structurally it mimics one of the other commissions that we have, the Mayor's Commission on Disabilities. The difference between that and a committee is that it's permanent. A mayor doesn't need to recreate it every time a new mayor is elected. So this gets to stay established. There will be terms, and the members can come and go, but the commission will be permanent. The reason that it exists is I was having a conversation early in my administration with one of the members of the commission, Mr. Stefan Witherspoon, who really challenged me. He said, you know, Mayor, I believe that you are a supporter of people of color and believe in promoting equality and equity, but what are you doing to show that support? How do we put people in positions of power where they can make decisions? How do we put them in positions of employment within the city of Superior so that people of color are actually represented within the community? That was a question that was also asked on the campaign trail in debates and on the doors and on the phones when people would ask, how do we benefit people in historically marginalized populations? And the answer is the only way to achieve representation is to create representation. The only way to give people power is to give them power. And so I felt a commission was a great way to establish this permanent committee. Commission, roughly the same thing, but that can recommend actual policy to the city council. So this is about action. It's not just about conversation. Even though conversation is an important part of what we're doing, we want to take action and make things better for people living in this community.
So I heard you say make recommendations to the city council. So can you talk or elaborate on whether or not this commission will actually have any power at all?
It's a fair question because it doesn't have any more power than any other committee. The fact is, in city government, only the elected city council and the mayor have the power to establish policy. But that body is informed, advised, and receives recommendations from its committees. And so what this is allowed to do is to truly flesh out the issues, like any other committee, including standing committees, and actually put those items on the agenda. So what will happen is the council will discuss the recommendations of this commission. So I can't promise that they will support all of those recommendations. I hope that they would give them a fair hearing. But I feel like you're making a little bit of a challenge here, which is fair because no, ultimately the commission cannot create policy in and of itself. That takes elected people. But I would point out we do need to do more to make sure that people of color are elected to these actual offices that actually make decisions.
Absolutely. So you mentioned Stefan Witherspoon. He was invited to be at this table tonight. He did not respond to the request to be here. So I just want our listeners to know that Stefan was invited to be a part of this conversation. Kim and Natasha, I'm going to just ask you, as a newly selected, appointed to this commission, what does it mean to you? I'm going to start with you, Kim.
It's a historic moment in the city of Superior, and it's well past time that it is taking place. For me, I'm honored to be asked to sit on this committee as one of the first commissioners. And I'm looking forward to delving into some of those policies that are hindering people of color from taking these positions with our city government. We're talking policies probably that affect employment, that affect even how we recruit and elect people of color, how we talk to people of color in the community. And it's good to see that the conversations that we've been having in the community for a couple of years are now taking fruit. So we've laid the seeds and now we're starting to see the plants start to grow.
Natasha, how about you? You were appointed by the mayor. All of you folks that were appointed were unanimously approved by the city council, and that's awesome. How does it make you feel to be on a commission such as this, and what are you hoping to give back to the city?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that, you know, this can empower our children of color in the community. I feel like often, you know, they see people in power that are white, and they don't see enough of us. And so I think when it comes down to being a part of that change and the decisions and policymaking, when we can be a presence at the table and a voice that can stop things that move forward that may be hindering our growth or representing us, people of color, as a community, I think that is important. I also feel that uniqueness to my situation, to the community, for me, it empowers me within, just to know that, you know, there is an awareness and there is that there is a lack of people of color that is being represented, you know, at the table. And so I feel for the most, it's just the beginning. There's a lot to do. Seeds are planted. You know, I do agree with Kim, but I also feel like those seeds will have to consistently be watered.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So, Mayor, if you would take a moment and just let our listeners know who other members of the commission are.
So we've mentioned three already, Ms. Kim Young and Natasha Link, who are here tonight. Mr. Stefan Witherspoon and Mr. Jarrell Benton are the first four, but not the final members of the commission.
Okay, how many members will there be on the commission?
So that's not established yet. I felt it was important that we get some clear leaders in the community that can get together and help move this forward. It would be, I think, a unique failure for a white man to create and fully define the Commission on Communities of Color. We need people of color to be the leading voices on that. So we have some great leaders on that commission that will first refine the mission. I had to write a mission for the city council to approve, but we're going to ask them to first refine the mission and then the scope of the commission. How long will the terms be? How many people should be on it? What people should be represented on the commission? And then we will bring that to the community for more recommendations for more appointments.
Well, you're a very smart man to do it the right way. I just need to say that, and making sure that communities of color select the people that are on the commission. That's unheard of in these parts.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's true. But we need to recognize that people of color within our community are leaders, not just within their own community, but within our entire community. And I feel very strongly that the people that we've already appointed, these four men and women, have proven themselves as advocates for our entire community, and their voices are valuable enough that they should be seen as leaders, not just on issues facing people of color, but all of Superior and the Twin Ports.
That's really great. So Duluth has what is called the Duluth Human Rights Commission. How is this new commission similar to or different than that commission? Anybody?
Well, for me, it's starting out the right way. The commission in the city of Duluth or the Human Rights Office started out with a white human rights officer, which is fine to have a human rights officer, but if you're not representing the entire city, you have a problem because not all voices are accountable at the table. This way, what the mayor has done has begun to really open up the table, really open up the conversation, and really put out a call to action to people. I mean, we have been asking for years to be represented and to have that voice at the table. Now we have that chance. And it's not just us. We're looking at already. I mean, we've already, when the appointments came down, we were already putting forward names from the Native American community, telling the mayor that he needed to check on the Asian communities, you know, the Hispanic communities in our region. And we're all afflicted by issues that affect our community, such as housing issues, affordable housing, busing, you know, our transportation system for daycare systems. We're looking at medical health care grants for our community that benefit us all. So it's not just about empowering the communities of color, which is a major point of this commission, but it's about bringing to bear and bringing to focus that everybody in this community has something to bring to not only the conversation at the table, but the prep, the eating, and the cleanup of the meal.
Mm-hmm. So as this commission moves forward with the concerns of racism in this particular part of the country, Superior, Duluth, racism, how are you going to work with the mayor and with the city council and the city in general to address those issues in a way that you're going to be listened to? And Natasha?
I think it's more so about experiences, listening to our people of color and what they're going through as Superior, being involved in the schools and, you know, being involved in the housing, just listening to what people have to say, because I think that's the most important. You know, no one knows what's going on if no one's at the table and we don't have voices. And so I feel like the voices are the most important, and listening to those and coming up with ideas on, you know, how to create change in those areas.
Thanks for listening to this episode of People of Color. We'll be right back. Danielle is the news reporter for WPR Northwest, and you might have...
Yeah, well, Mayor, when we talked last week about the creation of the commission, you noted that they were going to define what issues or research and policy would be developed, but that you had some ideas of what you'd like them to look at. What were some of those things that you were hoping they would examine?
So I think there's two routes that I hope the commission will take. First is the traditional kind of reactionary position, where we acknowledge that we have had some very serious incidents within the city of Superior, that racism exists. And racist incidents have taken place. We have to call those out, tell the truth about that, and find ways to correct and provide justice for things that have happened and prevent those things from happening again. The other route that I hope they'll take is recognizing that we can be more than just a reactionary community when it comes to building justice and equity, and look for opportunities to for people of color to succeed more than they are already within our city. So I would ask them to look for specific policies where we can increase diversity in employment within the city of Superior as an institution, as well as within the city, to make sure that people have opportunities for employment and lucrative employment so that people can actually make enough to raise a family. So that look for ways to empower people of color to run for office, ways to empower people of color to effectively seek justice when incidents happen, and translate those into our ordinances and resolutions. One other thing that could be very challenging for the commission or any committee that takes it up is to review our codes and ordinances that already exist and find places where we are creating disparities within our building codes, within our zoning codes, within our, maybe within our traffic codes, for all I know. We're often surprised by the things that we find in the code of ordinances when we don't review it. And this is a unique lens from which to review those ordinances.
So someone from, excuse me for just a moment, someone from the Superior Police and Fire Commission was quoted in the Superior Telegram saying this: "This moment in Superior is kind of momentous. It proves the dedication our city has to making sure that we are inclusive, that the diversity of our community is represented at decision-making tables and is dedicated to finding equitable solutions to the barriers people face. That's a very incredible moment for Superior, Wisconsin. As Kim was talking about earlier, it's historic. It makes you want to be a part of the community. But when I read this, and it says the dedication that the city has, what are some of those things the city of Superior has as its opportunities that it will hopefully implement in city government?
Within city government?
Within city government.
Okay, so one, we are undertaking a number of policy initiatives and reviews when it comes to our own hiring practices and the way in which people are treated within the city. As many people know, Act 10 removed a lot of the contracts that existed for public employee unions and replaced it with an employee handbook. That has not always been a perfect system, and I'm very concerned with making sure that that's working for every one of our employees, both in the way we hire new employees and the way we treat existing, especially long-time employees. So we need to, one, acknowledge that there are people of color that already work for the city of Superior and make sure that they are treated fairly, and also recognize that people of color can be some of the most valuable employees that we can hire, and ensure that our hiring practices reflect an attitude of diversity and inclusion. I would hope that our Human Resources Committee and our Labor Management Committees would have that attitude already. I can't guarantee that's true. Mm-hmm. And so they need help from a commission like this.
So one more question for me right now, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Danielle. So I mentioned the Duluth Human Rights Commission, and now this new commission's in place. Are there any plans to work together, meet together as two commissions to serve the region? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think that's all in just planning and talking, taking it day by day and realizing what's going on in the community right now. And so, yes, it is in planning. And, you know, I plan on being 100% real in this and, you know, hoping to raise awareness that privilege always needs to be acknowledged and, you know, biases and stereotypes as well. I'm walking into this and, you know, I think like we should never get too comfortable with being comfortable. And so always being open to stating what's real, you know, and not feeling like a fear of saying something because it's going to hinder or, you know, make someone feel some type of way. I think, you know, real and raw is, you know, what we really need to be.
Mm-hmm. Kim?
Definitely. I do believe we will be working with the Human Rights Commission out of Minnesota, because even though we are two independent municipalities, we together are the Twin Ports. Mm-hmm. What affects us affects Duluth and vice versa. Our people cross those bridges every day for work, for school, for recreation, to visit family. And so what's happening in Duluth affects us because we hear about it. We see it. It's affecting the people that we care about. What happens in Superior should also be a part of what's happening to our region. And our region is so much a part of who we are. So as our region grows, so must our ability to adapt, our ability to include diversity, not only in our communities residentially, but also in our communities for governance.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, would you like to comment on that?
I would hope that the commission works closely with the Human Rights Commission in Duluth. But like Kim says, this is a larger community, and most of our citizens in Duluth, Superior, and the surrounding area don't really recognize the boundaries of the cities as hard boundaries. People move back and forth, and they certainly have experiences on both sides of the bridge. I'm the mayor of Superior, and I go to Duluth all the time. I rush here from Duluth. So what affects one community very much affects another, and the problems of one community are the problems of another, and the opportunities of one are the opportunities of another. And so we have to be working very closely together. But one of the reasons that I appointed many of the people that I did is they all have reputations for already working well on both sides of the bridge. Mm-hmm. They have relationships in both of those communities and have undertaken advocacy in both places.
Absolutely. I know, Natasha, you wanted to say something more as well.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, you know, I really hope that, you know, the situations that are going on in the Twin Ports, I really hope that, you know, instead of things being talked about on social media, I just wish that, you know, we can all get together and do a meeting all together and not just be people of color, mm-hmm. but everybody at the table being represented and having a voice and opinion. And, you know, because, you know, we get on social media and we get to talking about, you know, situations and things that are going on and incidents, and they just stay there. And so, you know, connecting and meeting and finding some time in our busy schedules to actually sit down and talk about it and, you know, be in a room where we're actually building relationships. I think that is an important piece.
Absolutely. Danielle, did you have some additional questions?
Well, I just, in our conversation last week, Mayor, you mentioned that one of those issues that the commission might examine would be community and police relations. And so I don't think it's any coincidence that, Natasha, you were involved in a very high profile case that involved use of force and race. And so since that time, where you were struck by a white police officer here on the Superior Police Department. Do you feel like things have improved in the last 3 years? I mean, we have a new police chief. We saw the hiring of the first black officer. Where do you think things are today compared to where they were 3 years ago?
As far as my experience, I don't feel like things have changed. I do see the police chief doing amazing works with the college and, you know, being involved in a lot of the community events. But for me, I think it's just more so my growth is I do a lot of work in Duluth, you know, and so I empower young girls and, you know, we strive to eliminate racism. But just recently I was pulled over by the police and I did have my car checked. And so that to me is, I don't even have words for it. My relationship with the police chief is great. I feel like he's doing amazing things and he knows, you know, where change needs to be. I still feel, you know, victimized as I'm, you know, going from Superior to Duluth. I feel it's something for me to say. I feel more safe in Duluth than I do here because I just still feel like there's not much growth or, you know, I don't know, you know, but it's a real sensitive situation for me to even talk about. You did kind of throw me off. I don't know. I feel like I'm in these positions and I want to do more in my community because I don't always want to be attached to that. I want to create a new name for myself. You know, I answer to a higher calling. And so I feel like there needs to be some type of communication, hopefully with this commission, with the police. I feel like it's important to reach out to them and just talk about what they are doing to, you know, bridge those gaps of, you know, the racism and, you know, how people feel of color in the community, how they feel about the police. You know, it's a feeling. And I feel like relationships need to be built, you know, at the Juneteenth event, you know, I seen there was a presence there, but there was a presence there in, you know, police attire. And, you know, to me, you know, if you're going to have events in the community and have the people of color come out and invite everybody and not just only be people of color, I think it's important that, you know, the police don't come in presence of police. They come in presence of just regular people because we all are. You know, if you work at, you know, McDonald's, you don't show up to, you know, the family barbecue and you're, you know, you just come as you are, you know. But I feel like the police attire is just a little too much. And I feel like we need to look into those type of conversations need to be had, you know, those questions need to be answered. And, you know, but as far as my relationship goes and how I feel about the police presence in the community, I feel like not all of them are bad, but things need to be addressed.
I think that was a really important point Natasha just made, that one that I had never considered and why I think she's going to be so valuable on this commission, the idea that our police are present in communities of color, not just as police officers, but as members of the community. That's one of the most important ways we can build relationships. I think our police department is trying, we have to tell the truth, which is sometimes uncomfortable, that we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. We're maybe not close yet. Mm-hmm. And I think people like myself and the police chief can undertake efforts to improve relations with people of color or with any marginalized people within our community. But we need to hear from those communities as well about what makes this relationship better?
And I just want to add to Natasha, you mentioned that you were uncomfortable just now when I said that to you. And I think that is part of what's difficult about having these conversations, because I don't want to offend you, and I don't, but I think that's part of the barriers to having conversations is well-meaning people don't want to offend each other, and it makes it more difficult to talk about.
And I think we need to understand our history in this country. In our textbooks, we are led to believe that we, as African heritage people, began in slavery. We did not begin in slavery. We began on the shores of Africa. So if our history books would tell the truth about who we are as a people, that might be the opening of the opportunity to really have these kind of conversations, and they become healthy conversations that change all of us. Because racism doesn't just affect African heritage people, it affects white folks also. Mm-hmm. It's debilitating to every single one of us. And I think we have to come to the term that racism in and of itself is debilitating to every single person in this country.
Yeah.
And I think when we acknowledge it like that, I think we can better deal with it. Thanks for listening to this episode of People of Color. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to People of Color.
And I'm going to ask this question of everybody sitting here, really. So if there's no such thing as race, okay, we have the human race, but there's no such thing as race, then why do we have racism?
I spent a lot of money at this campus trying to learn that. Would either of you like to try and answer before I take my academic stab at it?
Well, I'm going to go straight to that academic stab at it, Jim. The reason we have racism in this country is because it was built into the legislative body of this country. It was built into the very fabric of its makeup. It is one of the foundation stones of this country, and it was built that way to distinguish class, to distinguish who had a little more worth in this country. In a way, you can say it kind of mirrors some of the societies that were already established in Europe. But at the same time, it also, the establishment of the American way of life also influenced several dictatorships that came along in later years of the European states. Adolf Hitler, for one, was very much influenced by the way that the southern white population used slavery and racism to control its population. He was very much influenced and very much impressed by that. And I think that kind of also, to a point, equates why we have such a preponderance of white nationalism, white Nazism in this country today, because it's never really gone away. People think it died out for a while, but it didn't. It just went underground. We still, to this day, many of our laws and policies that govern even today are still predicated on the existence of race, the existence of racial relations, the existence of classism, the existence of misogyny, patriarchy. It was never meant or designed to incorporate non-white people. It was meant to oversee non-white people. So that's one of the reasons why we still have racism in this country.
Okay, someone else. Thank you for that, Kim. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think, power is everything. You know, I feel people get comfortable, you know, with their power, and feel like they don't want to give it up. And I think, like, in order to move forward, we need to be okay with talking about what needs to change, as well as not trying to find who we're putting the finger at, who's to blame. Because I think white people can get so afraid of being blamed for something when we're just, you know, when people of color are just saying, hey, this is an issue. What are you going to do about this? Do you feel like it's an issue? And then not only that, just, you know, using your privilege to stand against racism is everything, you know. It's easy to say you stand for something and then go home behind closed doors and then you're done with it, you know.
And I think one of the other things that hopefully this commission can relay is one conversation that is continually happening in our communities is the conversation on what actually privilege means. And I have many friends who raised in poverty, working class all their lives, and they'll tell you, and they're white, and they'll tell you, I don't have privilege. I'm not affluent. And the privilege that we're talking about is not affluence. It's power. It's the power to generate laws. It's the power to enforce them laws and the power to make other people responsible to those laws, but not have any fortitude from those laws. We don't get anything from them other than oppression. And I think that's one of the conversations that we can finally, having this commission, make clearer to people, get a broader message out to people that what we're doing is we're not asking you to literally give up your privilege and power. We're asking you to share, you know, not take from you, but make sure that everybody has the ability to become, you know, to do, to be, to make our communities what they need to be so everybody can thrive and survive.
Absolutely.
Mayor Danielle, did you want to respond to any of that you just heard?
It's difficult to. Those were very effective and intelligent answers. Tackling a very difficult subject, I think both of these women are right that race is a construct within our society. It is created, and it's created to create to establish different values for different peoples. And I appreciated what you said, Mr. Banks, that it really affects everybody. That I don't believe, I certainly recognize that all white people in this country have privilege. I don't believe that all white people see themselves or want to be racist. And privilege does not mean you want to burn a cross in somebody's yard. Most people don't want to do that, but they do benefit from a system that oppresses other people. And the first step towards reconciliation is truth. We have to recognize that a system like that exists, and we also have to recognize that we have a part in that system. And that's very challenging and uncomfortable to do, because that might mean admitting that you have something that maybe belongs to somebody else, mm-hmm. or that you are capable of helping somebody else, but that might be difficult to do.
Wow, Natasha too.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Danielle wants to jump in as well. So.
I just want to say, like, I think, like, if you are white, the best thing to do is just to connect with people of color and just have I ever, you know, start a conversation. Have I ever? I think, like, there is an unawareness of privilege, but not knowing, I don't have privilege. I'm not racist. The thing is just have a conversation with somebody. Have I ever? Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like, for me, I have to tell my children to keep their backpacks in the car after school when I'm going into the grocery store. Now, if you're white and you never have to do that, that is privilege. Mm-hmm. That is an opportunity. It doesn't mean that you have power all the time, but at the same time, you have the privilege of going into the grocery store and being able to, you know, come on, kids. But I can't do that. I got to tell my boys. And then when they say why, there's that conversation. So those are those situations that are brought up daily, things like that you have to go through daily as a person of color. And so I think the conversations that just need to be had is have I ever, you know, starting those relationship pieces and, you know, self-evaluating, you know, reevaluating yourself and kind of like, it's, you know, clean out the closet.
Thanks for listening to this episode of People of Color. We'll be right back.
Listening to WPR's People of Color with Henry Banks, and I'm here with Danielle Kading, Kim Young, Mayor Jim Payne from Superior, and Natasha Lancour. Before you comment, Kim, I want us to think about, you all, to think about allyship. What does allyship mean as it relates to the establishment of the commission, and what does it mean beyond the commission in Superior, Wisconsin? So, Kim?
Well, this conversation is an example of allyship, but it's also an example of a privileged power play. When we start these conversations in the community, we are start them with the awareness that as a white person, you have the privilege and the power to say, I don't want to hear it, and walk away. Mm-hmm. We, on the other hand, do not have that power and privilege to walk away from the conversation, because even though the conversation might stop, the experiences that we are relating in the conversations are going to continue for us. It's that turn off, turn on mm-hmm. situation. And I think with this type of commission, that levels that playing field, because you're on this commission for a reason, and that reason is to effect and to bring forth changes to an already established system that does oppress people, and it gets that voice heard. Even if the decision may be something totally different than what we recommend, it still gets that voice heard, and it gets that thought pattern started thinking. So maybe we might recommend something to the mayor and to the city council, and they say, well, no, not right now. Well, then we're going to, you know, it's up to us to keep it going and not stop mm-hmm. because there's that feeling of, well, we're being picked on because we're white, or you're trying to destabilize something that has worked for years and years. Well, who was it working for? Mm-hmm. You know, and it can't be really stable if part of the people that you're working for aren't benefiting from it. So I don't see this as an allyship relationship. I see it more as an accomplice relationship. This Absolutely. Is developing real accomplices who are actually taking part. They're down in the mud to help you
get in the trenches.
Get in the trenches, because yeah. that's what we have to do. We can't do this by ourselves as Black people, and white people need an onus to do it. They need to have a reason. Well, the reason is because when we do better, we all do better.
That's right. That's words of Paul Wellstone, former senator in Minnesota. Danielle, were you going to have some additional?
I guess it was, my comment had to do with what's driving people from avoiding conversations like this. You know, why they don't get down in the trenches and do something about it. And from my perspective, it's fear, right? Fear of saying or doing the wrong thing. Or, you know, in some cases, we see this with the whole immigration debate right now. People are afraid, well, if we let millions of immigrants into the country, then I'm going to have to compete for jobs or compete for services. Or, you know, I mean, it's like that whole idea, if, you know, that fear for some people that if you give something up, that you're going to be left out too. So I think that's not something that I agree with whatsoever, but I'm just saying that that's some of the thoughts that exist right now and are present and prevent progress on this topic.
And Kim, accompliship is such a great way to describe it. I was prepared to answer the question what allyship means to me, and to me it means letting somebody else take the lead. Right, that's what allies do. They get the back of somebody else that's fighting a problem. But accompliceship, right, is so much better because there's this implication that you're willing to pay the price for the actions that you're going to take to correct this problem. And there are some very easy and privileged ways to be an ally. If I can be honest, creating a commission is a very easy thing to do. There was some opposition for sure. I'm glad that it got a unanimous vote on the council, but not everybody agreed with it. Not everybody agreed with the appointments. But I get to now say, hey, I've done something, if I so choose. I forget which one of you said it, but I can walk away. I have done my part. And maybe even consider myself a good ally for having done this much. But if I want to be an effective accomplice, I have to be willing to pay at least some price to make sure that people's lives are improved or at the very least not made worse in this community that I'm supposed to be representing.
So moving forward with the commission, monthly, quarterly, how often will you meet? Where will you meet? And I expect it's open to the community. So what are those parameters?
Anybody? Well, again, it would, like most committees, we'll leave that up to the commission themselves. I'll probably use my office to organize the first meeting here shortly in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The commissioners all have very different schedules, and many of them have very busy lives. And so we'll need to meet in a place that the entire community finds accessible and probably on a fairly regular basis. Most of our committees meet at least monthly, though the Commission on Disabilities tends to meet quarterly. So if there's a lot of work to be done, they're going to have to meet a little bit more often.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, again, moving forward, I'm going to start with you, Kim. What are your hopes and dreams moving forward on this commission? Same question to Natasha, the mayor. If you can comment on what your hopes and dreams are moving forward.
Well, this commission was one of my hopes and dreams when I started my advocacy in Superior, and I've now got to make a new list. I hope moving forward that Superior is finally really bought into the 21st century and that our community becomes not just diverse, but diversely inclusive. That as we move forward, we actually do become a better city, Superior. And I say that because going forward with, you know, the Better City Superior campaign, I'm hoping that even with this commission, some diverse opinions can be brought into that aspect of it, too, because this is our town, too. We want to see it grow. We want to see it move forward. We want to see it economically progress. We want to see it residentially progress, educationally and financially. We are at the tip of Lake Superior. We are in a very, very prominent international spot. We are an international port. And I think it's time we become an international city and that we look like an international city in our representation. And I think this commission is the start of that.
That was really great. Before you answer, Natasha, so Superior then becomes the role model for other Northwest Wisconsin communities?
Absolutely.
By doing this?
Yes.
Okay. Natasha?
I just hope that, you know, there is an awareness for my children. You know, I always speak for the youth. And so I feel like I just hope that, you know, but people of color can have a voice at the table and represent. And then not only that, I hope that, you know, we can see more of unity in our community. You know, people coming out and not feeling uncomfortable to come to certain events because there's going to be a certain type of people there. I feel like there's just I hope there's like an openness at the table, as well as just the presence and to learn and to be okay with being uncomfortable.
Mayor Payne?
Well, of course, we want the commission to address some of the real problems that we have in our community, especially racism, but it's only part of their work. I'd like to divulge a secret right now. We've had a young boy in the room for this entire conversation, and I was about his age when I started getting interested in politics. Not seriously, but I hope that this commission helps us all do work that allows him to grow up with the same opportunities that I had growing up and instills in him the same amount of pride that I grew up with the city of Superior, so that he can identify with this place as his home every bit as much as I did, and that he feels that he could eventually become the mayor of this town too.
Absolutely. Thank you all for being here tonight. This is People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to Kim Young, Mayor Jim Payne, Natasha Lancour, and news reporter Danielle Kading for this great conversation. Elliot Sweary is the producer of People of Color, and Paul Damberg is the executive producer. Have a great evening and a great weekend.
This is Henry Banks, host of People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. People of Color focuses on the unique contributions of people of color in this region. People of Color with Henry Banks, inspiring hope, uplifting communities of color, every Thursday at 6 p.m. on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.